This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, Clarets fans, and welcome to another episode of the Known and Never podcast. It is, of course, the preview show. It is Friday night, and you know the drill by now. This week, I'm joined by resident statistician Dave Roberts and our FPL expert, Adam Dennett. We are going to be going through preparations for the West Ham game this Saturday. We're going to try and get ourselves up and excited for this. We're going to wonder why we're all so disengaged this season, and we're going to pose a question to you about why there's not as much pressure on VK as there may be if he played for any other club. Let's not list any longer then. Let's get going. Here we go. Dave, Adam, welcome, welcome. Nice to have you both here.
Nice to be back on.
I know. We've
as always.
Double dose of you, Adam, tonight. We're going to have an FPL update from you later on, which is very exciting. Dave, we've been decorating.
Yes, I've redecorated the room behind me. Is that an improvement?
It is an improvement. Was that like literally wallpaper and paste? Did we do a collage or?
Yeah, the missus isn't too pleased, but yeah, new wallpaper.
Come home, I've done some decorating. Not quite. That you know what, maybe that would look great on that wall. Maybe we should do it that way. Anyway, let's not dwell. I'm going to come straight to you, Adam. We've had a break. It's quite a sad state of affairs that the international breaks this season have actually been quite a nice relief from the difficult season that we are having. 2 weeks on since the defeat, the Palace game, which was just a hugely disappointing result and one that was just very difficult to take. Where is your headspace now? How are you feeling about Burnley in general? Is there any chance that we survive this season? What can we do to put it right? Talk to me. Come on, let's have some therapy.
I think the Palace game and then the Arsenal game just before the break.
Oh, of course, Arsenal. Sorry. Yes, thank you.
I think both performances, we showed some signs of a performance in both games and I think defended better. Mm. Obviously, there were a bad mistake in the Palace game, which we got badly punished for. And then, again, showed the frailty from set pieces at Arsenal, which is a bit of a worry going into the West Ham game with James Ward-Prowse on them. But I think the fact that we started the same players, same 11 in those two games, and again showed them a bit more fight is definitely a positive thing as we went into the international break. And I think that's one thing we really struggled for this season, just any sort of momentum with all the chopping and changing and the issues. We've had three red cards. It's been really difficult to build that momentum. So it'd be interesting to see what he does with his team at the weekend. And it's becoming must win. I know Dave don't like that saying sort of territory already. We've been given a glimmer of hope with obviously the other teams that are around us. I didn't think we'd be as poor as Luton and Sheffield United this season, but it really would have been worse. We're bottom of the pile.
We are worse. They're better than we are.
Yeah. Obviously, Everton have been dragged into it now. Whether the points deduction holds for any longer, it's a wait and see. But at the moment, they've been dragged into it. It'd be interesting to see how they react. You'd expect a Dyche team to fight. And they've been pretty good. Well, they have been decent, especially in the last month or two. So it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to really turn it around quickly. But having won one out of 12 games to only be, I think it's 3 points from safety and 5 points from 16th, you've got to look at it from that point of view and think, if we can somehow get it together, then we have got a chance. And Forest this time last year, I think we're on 6 points. Everyone had written them off. They had loads of change in the summer, and they managed to turn it around. That doesn't happen every year, Peter. And if you had to ask me now, I'm probably going to say that there's not much chance of it happening. But football's a funny game, and you never know. And I'll be going in with a bit of hope on Saturday.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I'm not at the game on Saturday. It's clashing with a weekend away. So you're welcome, Burnley, because I'm clearly going to miss the first win that I would have seen as soon as win. Yeah, I wasn't at the Luton game. So, yeah, you know, I'll take credit for that. A couple of points to pick up on there, Adam. I think you're right. I think what's disappointing is that Luton, out the three of us, have figured out the Premier League and what they need to do the quickest. Sheffield United also have figured out, but they've obviously been hampered by some quite difficult injuries that's really given them some problems. And we just don't seem to be figuring out at all. We don't seem to be getting it. We're not learning from our lessons. And there's like there's a relaxed atmosphere about VK, which unnerves me a little bit. It's like he thinks he's got all year just to figure out what he needs to do, and then we get going. And it's like the clock is ticking in the Premier League. It is not the same as the Championship. You have to work it out very, very quickly. And the fact that we're 10 games in, 11 games in, 12 games in, and he's still not figured out who his best starting 11 is yet and what tactics he's going to adopt is a genuine concern. I don't think Everton will get dragged into it for that same reason. I'm concerned that Bournemouth have already had results that we haven't looked anywhere near clawing out themselves. And it genuinely looks at the moment like the three promoted sides will just go back down again, which is disappointing. And I think because of that, and another impact as well, Adam, why isn't... Okay, before I say this, I'm going to caveat this, is that I'm not in this camp. I'm not calling for his head. I'm quite happy for Vincent Kompany to take another year if he needs to get this team going again. I know other fans don't share that view. But there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of pressure externally, either in the press or in other fan base, on Vincent Kompany. And I speculated that in a relegation season where you've got three unfashionable promoted sides going to go straight back down, nobody cares about the relegation zone. That's number one. Number two, VK is part of that. You know, he's got friends in the media, so maybe they are, you know, they're not piling in on him. But I guessed it on the Anfield wrap this afternoon, and Neil, their host, gave me a really good point why he thinks VK isn't under pressure yet. And he thinks it's because of VAR. The sports news cycle isn't having to find fillers, because every single week there is so much to unpick with VAR. There are so many problems, so many controversial issues, that on a Tuesday afternoon in November, when you've got nothing to report on, you go to the sack race, or you fill those things. Well, this season, those filler topics don't have to be addressed because there's enough there. Do you think in either any other season or for any other side, with the results this season, that Kompany should be under more pressure than he is?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think you've got to put it into context of how good last year was. He's still got a lot of credit with the majority of Burnley fans. I think last year, I didn't think we'd have a more enjoyable Championship season than 15-16 with Dyche, but last year just eclipsed everything, the way we played, the way we just ran away with it, and just everything just seemed to go right. And I think you do build up that credit, and it's I think you're right though. VAR has definitely taken over a lot of the talking points, and you'd probably say the same for other managers. And has there been a Premier League manager sacked yet?
No. And I tell you who else should be under more pressure than he is? Hodgson. Palace are awful. And yet, like, nobody's talking about him either. So
yeah,
the Bournemouth manager,
there's not much focus on it at all.
No. So yeah,
Iraola as well. Yeah, he's coming in not, not really done much. Heckingbottom, there's been a bit more talk around his position, but
he got threatened at one point, didn't he? They were thinking about sacking him, which was a bit of a weird one after a few weeks. Yeah,
apparently so. But
I just find it really interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I say, and I know other fans disagree with this, and they're fed up already. But I know there's a project happening, and I do believe in company, and I do give him also some grace for the fact that he's also managing in a league he's never managed before. So he's obviously going to make mistakes as well. He's not done this before. So
there's also the fact, sorry to interrupt, fact that we had a bit of a, obviously we were winning games and drawing games and conceding late goals, but still picking up points. But we didn't properly kick into gear until end of October, beginning of November.
It was the World Cup break.
With all the turnover of players in the summer. And yeah, no, you can't really at this level. But again, we're not that far from safety if he did manage to get it to click, which I'm sure that the
owners wins on the bounce have, and we're back in it.
Have faith that he will be able to. I think they still seem a bit starstruck by him. And another factor is a big name. Big names don't tend to get as much time.
No, I agree. Interesting. It is interesting. I want to give him the time, and also as well, I'm not too concerned if we do go straight back down again. I think we've shown that as a business and as a club, we have the ability to survive championship seasons and get back up again. So the last three that we've been in it, we've come straight back up again. So the last three we went down, we've come back up again. So I'm all right with this. Dave, you're going to give us a warm and fuzzy feeling and get us all excited and happy about the West Ham game, aren't you? And we're going to turn to you next. Before we do that, though, you know the drill by now. Quiz question. I don't know what to do with myself last week. I didn't have one. What are you going to set for us? Is it going to follow the same pattern, or are we going rogue?
No, we're kind of following the same pattern for the first half of the season, and it relates to players who played for Burnley and our next opponents. So this time we're asking for the name of the only player, there's only one, who's made 50 or more league appearances for both Burnley and West Ham United in the post-war period. That's up to the end of last season. So we just want to know the name of that player, and we'll reveal the answer at the end of this preview show episode. So get
Excellent.
Your thinking.
Any clues? Was I alive when he played? Am I going to get this? Should I get it?
You were alive, yes.
But I was very little. Okay, that's good. Good knowledge. Excellent. Well, let's kick us off with the preview show, please. Dave, Statman Roberts, it's always a pleasure to have you here. We are, of course, talking about Burnley versus West Ham. It's a home fixture, 3:00 on Saturday, the 25th of November. Not televised anywhere live on TV in the UK. Kick us off with your match results summary, please, Dave.
Yes, as usual, we have a summary of past matches, specifically the home league matches against the Hammers. 44 past league matches at Turf Moor have produced 25 Burnley wins, 12 draws and just 7 defeats, so quite a good record. And Burnley also have a fairly healthy positive goal difference, having scored 96 goals and conceding 58. The majority of the league meetings have been in the top flight, 31 of those 44 seasons, with the remaining 13 in the second tier. And this weekend's meeting with the ninth time we've faced West Ham at Turf Moor in the Premier League. The previous 8 meetings have resulted in 3 Burnley wins, 2 draws and 3 defeats.
Lovely stuff. Well, first of our new features, we are looking at our one to remember and one to forget. We are reliving a couple of notable past fixtures, which are memorable for contrast. I can't speak. I'm trying to say featuring instead of fixtures and contracting instead of contrasting. Tell you, you take a week off and you forget how to podcast. Let me try that section again, listeners. This season, we are reliving a couple of notable past fixtures, which are memorable for contrasting reasons. One good and one less so. Dave, are you going to kick us off with one to forget, hopefully? Let's get that one out of the way first.
That's the way around we're doing it this time, yes. Our one to forget was a high-scoring match from September 1974, which was described in the Burnley Express headline as great entertainment, .. or was it? ? The fact that Burnley were on the losing side didn't help, and neither did the defending, as although we managed to find the net 3 times, the leaky defence let in 5. Although Paul Fletcher gave the Clarets a third-minute lead, the visitors equalised before half-time and then went 2-1 up after 54 minutes. Both goals were scored by Keith Robson. Within a couple of minutes, a Peter Noble header levelled the scores at 2-2. But Alan Stevenson was beaten three more times, with goals from Trevor Brooking, Billy Jennings and Billy Bonds before Paul Fletcher netted again for a consolation a few minutes before the end.
Lovely. Okay, let's get rid of that one then. What is our one to remember, please? Match two.
Right, well, on to some more happier times, you'll be glad to hear. There was a sense of relief when Burnley managed to put the memories of a very disappointing 5-1 home defeat to Everton on Boxing Day behind them with a comfortable 2-0 home win over West Ham United. This was just 2 days later on the 28th of December 2018. The Sunday afternoon kickoff marked a turning point in the Claret season, as it was the first of a much-needed run of three consecutive wins. Manager Sean Dyche brought Tom Heaton and Dwight McNeil back into the side, and first-half goals from Chris Wood, who blasted a shot past Lucas Fabianski after 15 minutes, and Dwight McNeil's first goal for the club, with a sliding shot at the far post on 34 minutes, provided confidence on and off the pitch. And there was never any real danger of that lead being relinquished, despite a disappointing first half of the campaign. Burnley pushed on in the new year to secure safety and keep the club's place in the Premier League.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, Dave, next up, referee details, please.
Yes, Sam Barrett of Home Firth in West Yorkshire will make the trip over the Pennines for this Saturday's match. It's just the third time he's taken charge of a match involving the Clarets. The others were a 3-1 home win. That was against Crawley Town in the League Cup in November 2022. And he refereed as recently as last month in the 2-1 defeat at Bournemouth. There were no red cards in either of those two matches. And the cumulative yellow card count is 4 to Burnley players and 2 to our opponents. Craig Pawson has been given the task of the video assistant referee for this match.
Lovely stuff. Adam, back over to you. Give us some thoughts ahead of the game. Who's going to be your starting 11? Dave, have we got, what's our injury list? Have we got anybody coming back? Obviously, we've still lost Foster, bless his heart. Hopefully, he's on the mend. Wish him lots of good vibes to get him better again. But I think other than that, we still get everybody available, don't we?
Well, potentially Ekdal's back in the frame, isn't he? Because was he involved in the international break?
Oh, he was. Yeah. Yes, I did see that.
I don't think it were anything. I don't know if it were anything to do with the fact it was his brother's last appearance before he retired from international duty. But he wouldn't be in the squad or over there if he, and obviously he played for the under 23s or whatever it is.
Yeah. We had a few as well, didn't we? We have Obafemi played as well, and Chirlinov, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
he played as well, didn't he? So that's good. So in that basis then, do you just go 3 out of 3 and start again with the same team, Adam?
I personally would bring Cullen back into the team, even though we have had two positive performances. I just think he brings that extra steel. And even though he hasn't looked himself, I think that's just as much to do with the players around him as it is himself. But he's always one of the first names on the team sheet for me. So I'd probably bring, Cullen in, probably Trafford in goal. Muric is out with a virus or an illness or something. So at least there's no debate or discussion around that. There won't be any at least we won't
be cheap in the international break as well.
Yeah, there you go. I think,
who did he play?
You'd bring Ekdal in if he's fit, and play him alongside Bayer, Vitinha and Taylor at fullbacks, but Vitinha or Roberts, I don't think there's much between them. Brownhill alongside Cullen, Colioso, Berge, Amdouni, and I'd stick with J-Rod, even though he's not had much impact in the last couple of games, and maybe bring... I think sometimes players can become better by not playing in fans' minds. I think Vidra was the ultimate one for that. Every time we were left out...
You're right.
Obafemi, I don't think he was that impressive last year when he came in. Obviously, he had injuries and didn't really get any sort of game time. I'd be very surprised if he were thrown into the mix. And Amdouni's not really looked the same when he's played up front. So I think we are just a bit bare in that area for me. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did change it up top, but I think you stick with J-Rod for now.
Good. Any changes with that, Dave, or do you agree?
Yeah, I think the temptation to perhaps keep the same 11. I think Jay needs a goal. That's do his confidence a world of good if we can get a goal. We have a decent record against West Ham and mentioned a turnaround to our season. So fingers crossed that we can perhaps do the same again.
Fingers crossed. Adam, sorry, I cut you off there. Carry on.
Yeah, no, it's all right. No, I was just going to say it's unbelievable, really. Last season, our four forward players were Benson, Zaruri, Teller and Barnes for the majority of the season. And obviously, for different reasons, they've barely had a kick this year. So I know it'd be nice to see Benson, Zaruri back involved. I know there's been injuries, suspensions and obviously all the new players, but I really
very
wanted
odd
to see them have a crack at it at the top level, given how good they were for us last year. So it'd be nice to see them involved at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. Okay, score predictions then from both of you.
2-0 Burnley. First win, first clean sheet.
It's a little bit early too. It is Friday night. We're allowing the alcohol and the beers. Drink responsibly, Adam, and listeners. Dave. Don't say 1-1.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going for. Because after six consecutive defeats, you just want anything to stop the rot. I think we can win, but I think the more likely result is a 1-1 draw.
Sigh. I'm going to follow Adam. I'm going to say 2-0 as well. I think that's... Emma? No, I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet. I'm just too vulnerable at the back. I'm going to say 2-1. So there you go. Listeners, let us know what your score prediction is, please. You can tweet us or post at us at X, whatever the thing is now. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us a DM on Instagram. However you want to contact us, we're out there. Come and find us. Or those of you who do enjoy writing to us, you can send us an email at previewshow@noneandever.net. Dave, let's get back to script. I'm veering off it a little bit. What have we got next? It's been a while. Oh, yeah, stat of the week. Please treat our listeners. Delve into those pockets of yours and let our listeners have your miscellaneous stat of the week.
Okay, well, at times it's been difficult to avoid stats which make reference to Burnley's disappointing season to date, but we're determined to try and find some more positive stats for you.
Ooh.
Two of Burnley's wins against West Ham United have been achieved after being behind at half-time. One of those was in London, that was in April 1961, at Upton Park, or the Berlin Ground, if you prefer, and the other time was in a second division match at Turf Moor in September 1978. Burnley had trailed 2-1. David Cross had given the visitors a two-goal lead before Ian Brennan pulled one back just before the break. 5 minutes into the second half, Paul Fletcher levelled the scores before a rare goal from Jim Thompson, 10 minutes from the end, sealed the turnaround victory.
Yeah, good stats. Excellent. Well, thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure as always. You do go to an awful lot of effort to give us our stats ahead of the game. We're always very grateful. Adam, backside back into work. It's that time of the month again. We asked you to give us an FPL update, which you kindly pre-recorded for us to slot into this session. So I'm going to give you the floor now. And by the power of magic, some editing buttons that I clicked somewhere in the editing suite. We're going to hand over to your very special update on the None and Ever FPL League.
Hello and welcome to the None and Ever podcast. It's another international break, so a good time to bring you our November update in FPL. I'm going to start with the October Manager of the Month, and I'm just going to bring you the top three from that because it was a very close rundown with five players in joint fourth. So your top three were Bethan Perry in third place with 236 points, second Lewis Hillman with 242 points, and leading the way was actually my good friend and former work colleague, Liam O'Reilly. Well done, pal. You get in touch, I think we've got a meet-up in January for a few beers, so I'll bring your prize along then. Yeah, congratulations. Next up is a rundown of the top 10 overall players in the No Name Ever League. So, top 10, 10th place, Andy Bick with 777 points. Joint 8th place, Jordan Ingle and Brody Robinson. 6th place, joint 5th actually, are three players, Jake Edwards, Connor Milligan and Randy Dick. We won't pause too long on that. In 4th place, Basil Elena Kena with 782 points. And your top three overall players, in 3rd, Max Robinson, 783 points. James Hale in 2nd with 785 points. With a nice 9-point lead is Luke Connell at the top. Connell's champions, champions to date anyway. Very interestingly, I've been having a look at Luke's team and he has taken a very laid-back approach this season. No transfers since game week 8, which shows if you pick the best players, there's sometimes no need to tinker with it too much. So he's had Trippier, Cash, Salah, Saka, Mitoma and Bumo, Haaland and Watkins from the start. All pretty safe picks, consistently good performers, and he is sat at the top of the league. So well done, Luke, and I hope you continue to succeed. 15,000th overall in the game out of 11 million. So can't really fault that approach when it's bringing you those results. I think the last update I brought you was talking about leaving Haaland out of your teams, maybe. I wasn't brave enough to do it, but the people who did have done very well out of it, actually. He scored big in the games against Chelsea and Manchester United, but in the games where you'd really be targeting, such as the Bournemouth at home, Wolves away, Forest at home, is not really done as much damage as you would have hoped for his owners. So the players at the top of my mini leagues tend to be the ones that have risked it with no Haaland. So again, well done on being brave enough to do that. Just looking forward then, a few watch outs in the next few weeks. So Man City and Brentford have got a blank game week in game week 20. Still a few weeks away yet, but one just to bear in mind, if you've got a few of those players in your team, you don't want to be bringing too many in before that point. That's a blank because of City's involvement in the World Club Cup over Christmas. And then in January, there's going to be major disruption as well due to AFCON and the Asia Cup. So big players like Son and Salah will be missing for that period. So again, just be aware. Normally, I'd give you some teams to target in the next few weeks, but to be honest, it's a bit up and down with the fixtures. So I think form players are probably the way to go. I'm normally a fixtures over form man when it comes to FPL, but right now I think there's, like I said, it's very up and down for a lot of teams. So the most informed players in the game at the moment, there's some obvious picks in there, Salah and Bumo, Son, and you've got Haaland. But then the strikers, you've got Solanke, who's not done so well over a few years in FPL, but he's having a good season at Bournemouth, and Nicholas Jackson, who obviously had a terrible start, missing a load of sitters for Chelsea when he were in a lot of teams. Everyone's taken him out, and now he's scored a hat-trick against Spurs, scored again last week, and is one of the form players in the game. There's also a couple of players at the moment that feel like bargains. So Tsimikas at Liverpool, in Andy Robertson's absence, has done pretty well and looks like he should be nailed on to start most games. And at, I think he's 4.5 million-ish. Yeah, he's 4.7 million, sorry. It's an easy, cheap way into that Liverpool defence. And then Cole Palmer has been on fire for Chelsea. Obviously, it helps that he's on penalties and they seem to get one every week. But very clinical from the spot so far. Obviously, we'll all put him in and he might go wrong. But that penalty at the end of the Chelsea v City game was really, really good in a high-pressure environment. And he seems... at 5.1, 5.2 million, I think he's in the game. He's a no-brainer at the moment. So he'll be on my target list in the next few weeks for sure. Only last thing to say, next deadline, Saturday the 25th of November at 11 a.m. The guys will be back later on in the week to preview the West Ham game with the usual facts and stats from Statman Dave in the preview show. And all that's left me to do is wish you all green arrows in what we hope to be a lucky game week 13. Up the Clarets.
There you go. Green arrows to us all. I've plateaued a little bit this season. I was doing really well at the beginning and I had a couple of weeks where I lost the various head-to-head leagues that I'm in. And I feel like I've lost a little bit. My FPL season is going very much like Burnley's enthusiasm is for this season. So
you're doing much better than Burnley. It's still very fair. Close. I think you're doing all right. Just keep remembering to do it, and I think you'll continue to do okay.
Well, we record the preview show on a Thursday night, and I remember when I'm talking to Dave, I always do my FPL and I do my Super Six, and I get everything all sorted. That's my prompt.
It's amazing that you started doing better after I've stopped giving you advice, to be honest, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know how that happened. I honestly, who'd have known? You were kiboshing my flipping FPL. I can tell you that now, honestly. Yeah, listening to you. Am I still beating you? I am on in the league.
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'll sort that out this weekend.
But it's really, I've only just taken over here. So it might turn around and bite me in the backside if I...
I had Ollie Watkins in my team before everybody else realised. And so I got a lot of points in the early stages when he was going crazy. And I also, a couple of weeks, took Haaland off a captain and put Ollie Watkins on again before everybody else had realised. And that's how I got my points. Dave, before we hand over to the quiz question, you had something that you wanted to tell, public service announcement for our listeners. What have you got?
There's a launch a couple of weeks back for the new resource centre at Burnley Library. They've basically got a whole load of donations of books, programmes, memorabilia, fanzines, you name it, it's there. And there's basically a whole new section downstairs at Burnley Library for anyone to go along to, obviously particular interest to Burnley fans. And what they're doing, they're having sessions when we play Saturday matches. So this coming Saturday morning from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. So that's the 3 hours before the match. Burnley fans are welcome to go along and see what's there. There's a whole host of stuff. Dave Thomas, the author, he's donated a lot of his material. He's obviously written nearly 30 Burnley books now. There's a load of his stuff. There's scrapbooks. There's a full set of post-war programs. There's every book under the sun you could think of. There's absolutely loads there, and basically it's a 2-year project, so it's certainly going to be there for that and hopefully to be extended beyond. But there's a real resource there for Burnley fans to go along and make use of, so pop down on Saturday pre-match if you fancy it.
Yeah, definitely, that sounds amazing. A good place for community to get together as well if people feel like they want to just go and meet up with other Burnley fans and share some stories and anecdotes. That's a really great place to gather. So, yeah, I'll definitely be paying that a visit at some point before the end of the season. Quiz question then, please. It was there was just one player in history who's had more than 50 appearances for both Burnley and West Ham post the end of World War II. Who was that player, Dave? I don't know who this is. I've no idea.
It was striker Alan Taylor. He made 98 league appearances for West Ham. That was from 1974 to 79. And then later in his career, he scored 25 goals for West Ham in those league games. And then he was at Burnley from 1984 to 1986. Made 64 league appearances, scoring 23 goals.
Lovely stuff. Well, I hope you got that right, listeners. Do drop us a line if you do. I do like a little bit of a brag. Before I go, just going back to FPL, Adam, do I owe anybody any stickers? We had a manager of the month. We must have had October's manager of the month.
We've had three manager of the month so far. The latest one were one of my mates, Liam O'Reilly, so I'll hand that one out to him.
Have you got a staff? Yeah, I give you some?
I've got a couple, yeah, but I think if we tweet out the monthly winners after this,
yeah, please do. I was going to say nobody's.
2 months if they've not claimed.
Yeah, nobody's contacted us with their name and address details, so please do. And I'll send you a stash, Adam. There you go. See, we're using the podcast for housekeeping, listeners. This is what this season has done to us. We've started doing that. But no, I'll send you a pack down, Adam. Then you can give them out if you need to. That is all we have time for, listeners. That was a good preview show, all things considering. Hopefully, everyone will have an enjoyable experience at the West Ham game at the weekend. Hopefully, we'll finally see a Clarets win and some results going our way, and we can get ourselves a little bit closer to that 17th place. That would be very, very lovely. If not, it's going to be a sad place again on the podcast next week. But we'll try and bring you some uplifting. You know, it might end up just being cathartic. Is it cathartic? What is that word? Yes, you know, just a little bit of therapy. But get in touch, let us know how you feel. If any of our listeners do fancy coming on the podcast and airing their thoughts about this season, you are more than welcome to. Drop us a line, get in touch, and we'll arrange that for you. We'd like to hear some new voices as to what you're making of this season, because it's quite difficult at the moment to find new ways to not be completely down in the dumps about Burnley's season. So if you do fancy coming on and having a chat with us for 20 minutes or so, please do. We'd love to hear from you. That is all we've got time for, though. So in the meantime, enjoy the game, and we will see you next week for the usual schedule. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time.
The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The Analysis Show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.